Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. Sukadev Goswami continued. The two young demigods thus offered prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although Sri Krishna, the Supreme Godhead, is the master of all and was certainly Gokuleshwara, the master of Gokula, he was bound to the wooden mortar by the ropes of the gopis, and therefore smiling widely, he spoke to the sons of Kuvera the following words, purport. Krishna was smiling because he was thinking to himself, these two young demigods fell from the higher planetary system to this planet, and I have delivered them from the bondage of standing for a long time as trees. But as for me, I am bound by the ropes of the gopis and I am subject to their chastisements. In other words, Krishna submits to being chastised and bound by the gopis because of pure love and affection, worthy of being praised by a devotee in so many ways. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Miritam Yena Tashmai Shri Guru Venama Vandeyam Shri Guru Shri Yuta Nikamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavam Sha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvetam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Krishna Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhavatam Cha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatru Vesha Kripa Sindhu Vyayevacha Patita Nam Pavne Bhyo Vaishnava Bhyo Namo Namo Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. First of all, I'm feeling really humble to be here. I'm feeling a little comfortable that Siddha Prabhu is not here. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to speak anything. when Siddha Prabhu asked to speak, give the Bhagavatam class, and I was like, I'm not really sure if I'm supposed to be giving the Bhagavatam class. And he was like, no, you should give it. And I was like, okay, he has never said anything which is not beneficial for me. So maybe I should do it. But then as I was preparing for this class, and I was thinking, what should be my purpose to give this class? Because, maybe I should put it like this. What should be the purpose of me giving this class? Because there are different levels of, or the Bhagavatam goes in a different level. First level, where where devotees are relishing the Bhagavatam, Atma Ramas Shamanya, for the sages who are constantly in the Bhagavatam. I was like, definitely that's not me. So then what? In the second category where devotees speak Bhagavatam to glorify it or to glorify the Lord or to preach or propagate his message. And I was thinking, no, I don't think I'm propagating anything here to anyone because everyone is senior to me here. Not that I'm being humble, but that's the natural, that's genuine thing here. So it's like maybe there is some room here. The third aspect is you speak Bhagavatam for your own purification or self-purification. So I would like to seek the blessing of all the Vaishnavas here, all the senior Vaishnavas and everyone here, so that I can speak something, that I can purify myself, and meanwhile I can glorify a little bit as well. Thank you. Recently I've heard that there are 1.5 million books published every year, new books. And I was thinking, what is the purpose of those books? Most of those books have just the material knowledge. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains that anything which starts explaining about the spiritual world, that's shastras. And so the first is shastra, which is starting telling about that there is something more beyond this material world. Then up higher than shastra is shastra goyam, where bhakti is explained but not in a very elaborate way. Then it goes shastra guhyataram. I'm sure we all are familiar with this word. Iti tagyanam guhyatam guhya guhyataram maya. Where Krishna is saying that I've explained to you the knowledge before, but now explain you more confidential knowledge. So that's another level of shastra where the pastimes or the nature of the Lord is explained. But still there is some tinge, there is some room where some more can be glorified about the God or the Lord. Then the next level goes to shastra guhyatamam. If we understand from the Bhagavad Gita, in the 1863, saying, I've explained to you most confidential knowledge. But in the very next word, Krishna is saying, but I'm explaining to you now more deeper confidential knowledge. Sarva guhyatanam bhuya. And then the next verse goes, manmanabham. That is saying the more confidential knowledge. So why is shastra, or why the Srimad Bhagavatam is guhyatamam? If you see in these verses, or in the Bhagavatam, Shri Sukadeva Goswami is describing the most confidential aspects. Not my birth date, not my bank detail or anything. But he's explaining our deepest relationship with the Supreme Being or Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. And what is that relationship? Just before this verse 39, I guess in verse number 25, Krishna is saying, I have nothing to do with these two boys of Kuvera, Nala Kuvera and Manigriva. I have nothing to do with them. But I am coming face to face with them just because my devotee Narada have already given the words to them. So I'm coming just to please Narada or Narada Muni. So what is happening here if we do the little recap? I wouldn't go on the detail because I'm sure you've been hearing this pastime from more than a month now or nearly a month. And I'm not a really good storyteller. So I'll just touch on briefly that how two sons of Kuvera imagined with the power, the beauty and opulence, they start abusing Lord's property in that sense. It is one of the purport on a translation Krishna is saying that, or Sukadeva Goswami saying, how when we go to the Ganges, we purify ourselves, but these sons of Kuveras were actually contaminating the Ganges for the different purposes. And Narada Muni, when passing through, the girls who were not dressed properly, they tried to cover themselves, but the sons of Kuvera, they were like, no, forget it. Just because they were illusion with the power. And but Narada Muni cursed them. Because of the curse, they come here. However, when the devotee curse, it's not even a curse. It's a boon. Because if anything devotee does, it's for your own benefit. Whether we understand at that moment or not, that's a different story. Whether we understand in this lifetime or not, that's a different story. But at some point, it will be beneficial. So So here in this verse, Krishna is actually smiling. They delivered them and they glorified Lord. And after glorification, Lord is just smiling and saying, what's happening? I don't know. You're glorifying me. That's all right. But I've freed you from bondage. But look, my condition. I'm bound myself. Srila Bhishmanath Chakravarti Thakur explaining that here's the words actually used. Damna cha oluke. And explain that cha, damna means rope, and oluke means the mortar, the wooden grind. But he's explained that cha means the love of the gopis. He's explaining that I'm actually love, not just with the rope, but with the love of the gopis. So we see that Sukadeva Goswami is here is actually explaining that how to capture the Lord, how to capture that all Almighty Lord, and how to control Him. And that is why we call these scriptures Shastra Guhyam, or this knowledge Guhyam, or Guhyatamam. Sorry, yeah. That's why we call these knowledge Guhyatamam, because you actually have a secret to control the Lord, where in other culture and different aspects, we can't even think to even ask God, we don't even think to imagine who God is here. He's giving a secret how you can actually control Him. So that's why it is Guhyatamam. So often Srila Prabhupada said that being God is an inferior position than that being devotee of the Lord. Because in terms of enjoying, the joy of loving this, a joy of loving in the service of God is more deeper. The God can't relish it. So in that sense, he explained that the position of the devotee is superior. And Buddha Bhana Prabhu often explains that how this Krishna consciousness is a science of reciprocation of love with Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if we come back to these verses again, what are these verses actually doing? They are actually telling us what would we get when we follow that shastras, or when we follow this extreme amazing knowledge or the secret knowledge, or when we read the Srimad Bhagavatam. So if we follow this science, what will we achieve from there? So if we go a little bit, what is actually reciprocation mean? We receive something and then we give something. That's a simple way to put it, right? We receive something and we give reciprocation. Bhagavad Gita chapter 25, I'm sorry, Bhagavad Gita chapter 4, verse number 25. See, I told you, if it were Visuddhapa, I would have never corrected myself. I would have thought, oh, I guess 25. explaining what is actually yajna mean. Shallow understanding of it could be you have good grains and you're putting them in a fire and you're wasting it, right? But that's a very shallow understanding of what yajna is. and which is very easy to follow. If you go around, even when you travel in India, if they don't understand anything, they would say, yeah, it's just a waste of money and resources. But that's very shallow understanding. And it's easier to make conclusion using the shallow understanding, because it takes depth and greater investment to understand substantial understanding. But Shastras are giving us the substantial understanding. We take one example from Mahabharata, where Vidura is actually explaining to Dhritarashtra to what is this reciprocation actually mean. And he gave the example of breathing. It's a very simple example we do in everyday activity. No one can live without it. You inhale, you exhale. You receive, you give it back. No one can survive on just one. Never come back. It doesn't happen, isn't it? It doesn't work like that. So the concept is you give and you take. And you say this is a very natural thing. It's not some hard work to do. It's a very natural thing, isn't it? Very natural thing when you give and you take. And that is actually called sacrifice. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna would never give us anything which is not natural. It's we who come up with the different ideas which is not natural, which is our own idea. But whatever Krishna will give us, he will give us a natural principle. So sacrifice is a very natural principle. So we are ready to receive, and at the same time we are ready to offer it back. But for some people, they may have to give more and receive less. That's charity. Yeah, it is called charity. But another aspect of it is gratitude, where we receive, but we're not able to give it back. So today, there's one thing I would like to elaborate more on, because I personally feel in my life, because I've received a lot, but I don't think I'm able to reciprocate it in the best way. So, because I sometimes feel that I got it cheap, so I may take it. I do take it a little cheaper than I shouldn't be, you know. So I thought when I would be speaking on this, hopefully it will go a little deeper in my consciousness that I wouldn't take it cheap, because devotees are being so nice to always to me, giving me nicely, pampering me very nicely. So I thought maybe I should think on it. So where do we see this example? Of course, the whole scriptures are full with these examples. But we take a simple example, or the famous one, from the pastime of Rukmani and Shishupal, or Shish Rukmani's wedding. Rukmani's wedding was arranged with Shishupal, of course, in a Vedic way. However, Rukmi, which is Rukmani's brother, he had his own self-interest in it. So oftentimes, the marriages are arranged, but not always it is kept like the best interest of the lady or the man. You know, sometimes you have a selfish interest behind it. However, Rukmini wasn't the normal person. She is a rebel in the heart as well. So she said, I'm not going to marry to Shishupal. So she asked or requested Brahmana, one learned Brahmana, that please go to Dwarka and tell Krishna what is the situation and tell him that I want to marry him and what is my situation here. Brahmana went there, he conveyed the whole message to Krishna, and Krishna said, don't worry, tell Rukmini that I'll come and I'll marry her. When Brahmana came and he narrated the whole story to Rukmini, she was like, I don't know how to reciprocate here. She could just engage him in her service maximum, but she didn't know how to give it back. So she just folded her hand and she said, thank you, I can't repay it. I'm eternally grateful to you. And Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport that folding your hands means you are eternally grateful. You did this for me and I'm thanking you. So she could not be able to give it back, so she was just saying thank you by folding her hands. As Ram Navami is coming, it's tomorrow, so maybe we can discuss one pastime from Ramayana as well, where the same thing happened. Lord Ram sent Hanuman to Lanka to find out like how his mother Sita is doing there. So Hanuman went to Lanka, did all those different things there. Maybe don't go into that. I'm sure tomorrow somebody will be explaining, or tomorrow or Sunday, somebody will be explaining more on those things. But the principle is Hanuman met Mother Sita, took her message, and came back to where Lord Ram was. And he explained to Lord Ram that Mother Sita is perfectly okay, you know, and everything is fine, no problem. So when when Lord heard this, he was like, I don't know, Hanuman, how can I reciprocate to you? I mean, no amount of jewelry or diamond ring or something can repay what you did for me. So Lord Ram just said, I have nothing to offer to you. Even if I give my life once, twice, thrice, O Hanuman, I wouldn't be able to repay what you have done for me. I can only embrace you. And of course, if we read the Bhagavatam again, we have the famous pastime of Lord Krishna, where he says, Ignapayeho. He says, I can't repay to you, Gop. So we see time and again, the scriptures are actually telling that Rukmani is not a normal person. She is eternal concert of Lord. Lord Ram is Lord himself, Krishna himself coming and he's saying that, I can't repay you. So we see time and again that this mood of gratitude where Lord is saying, I can't repay you, is there. And it is good sometime to be eternally indebted to someone or something. One may have to eternally perform these sacrifices without expecting anything from anyone and in return. And this is how the life in this world is in one sense. However, we see in the previous time it was more on an upfront. Nowadays maybe, okay, it's maybe a generalization, but I'm talking for myself as well, that it's not on a forefront. And we see Lord himself is feeling helpless when it comes to showing gratitude. But oftentimes, I see in my life, or we see it in our surroundings sometimes, that we feel more proud that when we do something for the Lord, and we say, we did something for you, how about, what can I get now, There is no sense of like, okay, gratitude, no. We don't understand that the position of living entity is higher. But we are constantly trying to struggle to take inferior position. Okay, Praveen Prabhu is making faces, so let me repeat it again. We don't understand that position of living entity is higher, but we are constantly trying or struggling to take inferior position. In what sense? I'm talking for myself here. But in what sense? As I was saying, that the position of the devotee is higher than the Lord. Because Lord can't relish something which you can actually relish. We wouldn't go that how he came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for that. But in general, he can't reciprocate. He feel like it's different, Lord is just one. And he has to reciprocate with all of us. So it's difficult. So the idea is, when we read these pastimes, we meditate a bit that, am I trying to be served or am I trying to serve? And when I was thinking this line, I was thinking that maybe I should write it on my wall. And this is just for me, for no one else. I'm sure you all are serving very nicely. So I thought this is just for me when I was thinking that I meditate when I read these pastimes. Am I trying to be served or am I trying to serve? I wouldn't go too long here because, as I said, there's so many things to say, but I can just summarize what we've been discussing here. We were just highlighting, or we started with explaining how the different levels of shastras, explaining the different aspect of the God or the Supreme Lord. And then we explain about how the sense of sacrifice is very natural. So if we want to be really happy, then be in your natural position. The more you would try to acquire without the sense of giving, it's not a natural situation. When I travel, or when I used to travel on the street, sometimes people ask, how can I be happy? It's so difficult. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nand ki, Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ji ki, Shri Shri Gauranitha ki. So oftentimes they ask, how can I be happy? And just tell them a very simple thing, that being happy is a natural situation. Like, simple again, the breathing example. It's so natural, isn't it? The moment we try to breathe, That's not our natural situation. We are in a ventilator. We are paying for it. That's not our natural situation. So being happy is a natural situation. All we need to do is to be in our natural position. So here, so we were explaining about how sacrifice is our natural natural position. Because Krishna is saying that without it, nothing will come. And if we see in our day-to-day life, everyone is doing sacrifice, whether they understand or they don't understand. As it reminded me of what George Harrison wrote in the front cover of Krishna book. Yeah? Everyone is looking for Krishna. Some knows it, some don't know it. So everyone is doing sacrifice. Some knows it, some don't know it. But if we understand our natural position, we will be happy to do those sacrifices. And if we understand the mood of that sacrifice, we can go a little deeper. We can go from there to charity, charity to gratitude. And then we talked about how Lord feel himself. We talked about the pastimes from Bhagavatam, where the Lord himself and Rukmani feeling helpless to express her gratitude to a Brahmana. We understand how Lord Ram was feeling helpless to show his gratitude towards Hanuman. So we were saying that how in our life sometimes we feel a little proud when we do something and we feel, you know, I don't need to show anything. Maybe I should be shown respect by the people. so yeah, and the last thing, we were saying that being a devotee of the Lord is superior position than being Lord himself. So I would stop here. I would say thank you one more time for keeping me in your prayer. I'm sure you did. And please keep praying that whatever I said, it goes a little deeper in my heart so that I can actually practice it in a more deeper sense. Thank you. So is there any question, comments, and chastisement?